I've done, we do ground fighting in our school. We do boxing. We do kickboxing. We do fitness training. We do amateur kickboxing. Mm-hmm. So we just do martial arts.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
I just love the art, period. I'm not stuck into one art. I don't believe in one art. My philosophy goes back way to what Bruce Lee used to say and believe in. No limitations as limitations. Mm-hmm. And don't limit yourself to one art. So Bruce Lee truly was ahead of his game. And now we see what people are saying, what he was saying 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. they're saying it right now.
Yes, sir.
And we see the result.
Right.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We got a great interview episode for you this week, but before we get into the interview, we got some announcements for you all. Yes, if you've been listening week in and week out, these are going to be pretty similar to the last few weeks, but still important announcements. I am still offering free fitness consultations to anybody that sends an email to elementaltampa@gmail.com. Whatever you guys have is for regards to health and fitness questions, if you need a little bit more advice or suggestions or feedback, just to bounce off some ideas off of, or someone to bounce your ideas off of.
Yeah, you don't want to bounce off of something.
Yeah. So, yeah, please just send me an email and we'll start out a conversation and hopefully I can give you some useful advice.
Yeah, and there's no commitments if you're thinking, like, this is, like, a way to get suckered into, like, training or some sort of subscription. This is Nick's honest-to-goodness just offering up his expertise and passion to you all, who we are also passionate about. Mm-hmm. So take him up on the offer while I think you're planning on running this until, like, through summer, basically.
Yeah. Once the holidays come around, we'll start slowing it down. You know, we'll change it up. We'll change something up. But we still want to offer you guys, besides the free content and the podcast, some free additional services that you guys can take advantage of to help you on your fitness journey.
Super sweet. So after I have this baby and I need to get back in shape.
Oh, yeah.
I won't. Should I email you?
No, you don't have to email me. You're lucky. You don't have to.
Woohoo! I get a bonus.
Yeah, you get direct access.
Anyways, we do have another announcement. Again, should be hopefully familiar to you all, and hopefully you're as excited as we are. We are finalists in the Creative Loafing Best of the Bay 2017 edition, and we are nominated for Best Local Podcast. Mm-hmm. So ridiculously excited about that. Just being a finalist is a huge honor. Any voting assistance that you can lend would be super appreciated. And mm-hmm. you still do have time. It's open until August 23rd.
Yeah.
So you still have a little bit of time to squeak in there if you haven't gotten your vote in.
Yeah, you won't hear this announcement much more.
No.
Not after a few more weeks. This is going to be done. So, yeah, August 23rd, please go and vote for Addicted to Fitness. They go to cltampabay.com. Then there's a big banner for Best of the Bay, and then there's categories, and we're under...
We're under People, Places, and Politics, which mm-hmm. sounds kind of like a weird category, mm-hmm. but it's because we're people, I think.
Yes, yeah. So, and then there's a bunch of different categories. Best Local Podcast is there. Hit the drop-down menu, and we're numero uno. We're the first choice and the only choice.
As long as you're logged in, because Creative Loafing just makes sure you log in, you can just vote for... just that. You can just vote for Best Local Podcast. You can choose Addicted to Fitness at the top. Or if you want to go ahead and also vote for a bunch of other people, you can.
Yeah.
I think it's a one-time only vote, though. They do track your IP address.
Yes. Yes. So, and then we have some friends of the show, too, that are also nominated. U.S. Cryo.
Yes.
Also, Amir's Academy, which may be a little foreshadowing. Because today we have an interview with the owner and founder of Amir's Academy, Amir Ardabili. Is also essentially the man responsible for everything you guys hear right now, honestly, to a certain extent.
a very big role in Nick's life.
Yes, yeah. The whole reason that, you know, we're doing the podcast and I started being a, really got inspired to be a fitness trainer or a personal trainer, excuse me, and started Elemental Training Tampa was because I went into Amir's school, Amir's Academy, way back in 2007. I was just looking for something to really kickstart my a fitness plan. Because I was overweight, I was out of shape, you know.
Well, and you have this story on the blog, right?
Yeah, way back. Yeah, I think it might have been one of the first blog posts.
So on your Elemental Tampa, there's a blog post that we'll include in the show notes because you should read about his story, about Nick's story. He was definitely not just somebody that has been pumping iron and has been super into health and fitness his entire life.
Right.
I think you're a very realistic case as far as someone who discovered it, you know, down the road and kind of at a certain point in your life.
Yeah. And it, honestly, I really give it all the credit to Master Amir because the his school and the type of training he provided was exactly what I needed. I always tell people that I probably wouldn't be where I am, obviously the shape I'm in, and also in the kind of the mental place I am now without finding his school. It would have been all been different. It all would have been, I had to go, and literally the first day I got punched in the face twice in a bloody nose. And I don't think if that didn't happen, I don't know if all this would have happened.
So you know what's weird? I knew you before you went to Master Amir.
Yeah, it's very true.
So I've known pre-Master Amir Nick.
Yeah.
And then all the way to post.
Right.
And yeah, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah. I mean, obviously getting older with age, you get a little bit more wisdom and a little bit and things like that. But
you're like, I'll take responsibility for some
things. Well, no, yeah. Obviously, I had a lot of great people that influenced me over the year, but I think over the years. But I don't think there's anybody bigger than Master Amir, you know, besides my parents, of course. But he was huge influence on me. And he has a great story. You guys will hear it right now.
I'm really excited to hear this. It's honestly,
I knew a little bit about it, but I even learned things during the interview that I'm so glad that I did. All right. So without further ado, please enjoy this interview with Master Amir Ardabili. My guest today has been mentioned on the podcast several times, and I'm excited to finally have him on today's show. He's an honorary member of the International Martial Arts Hall of Fame, a certified police and defensive tactics instructor, and the founder and head instructor of Amir's Academy, which has been training students in the Tampa and St. Petersburg area for over 33 years. It's my honor to finally welcome Master Amir Ardabili to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Thanks for joining me today, sir.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Honestly, I've probably mentioned it on the podcast before, but when I first thought about doing this, the weekly podcast was the one I wanted to interview fitness and health professionals, and honestly, you were at the top of the list. So
I'm sorry
it took me so long to ask you to do this, but I'm finally glad you were able to join me today.
I'm very honored. Thank you.
I know of your background, but I would love to share it with the listeners. I want to know when your addiction for fitness began, specifically martial arts.
Well, I pretty much was born into the martial arts family. My father was a jiu-jitsu and judo instructor. I was probably 5 or 6. I used to watch movies with him. And when I was 6, when I turned 6, I got my first uniform as a birthday gift. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started training formally in martial arts.
So when you were 6 years old. And that was in Iran, correct?
In Iran, yes.
Okay. What and so you started with ground, or was it what?
Well, I started with ground. It was not jiu-jitsu, it was judo. So, then shortly after that, I got bored with that, and I got into kung fu. And kung fu is a very big art in Iran. Unlike most countries, they take it very seriously because they do a lot of sandshao fighting and sandow fighting, and forms are important over there. And so I started with that, which we call kung fu tawa. Grandmaster Mirzai from Iran, he was the founder of the style in Iran, which is right now all over the world. He's being taught everywhere. And then from there I went to Thai kickboxing. You know, I just had a love for the martial arts, so I got into as much as I could get into.
Right. So kind of all a real mixed martial artist. Like that term is kind of a different nowadays, but...
Well, I always say when you say mixed martial arts, you're being redundant. Mm-hmm. Because when you say martial arts means martial arts, different arts.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say mixed martial arts, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I use the terminology because that's what everybody knows.
Yes.
However, my academy, from the very first day I came to the United States, before even mixed martial arts existed, was called Amir Academy of Martial Arts. I never called my school a karate school, mm-hmm. taekwondo, or kung fu. It was the Academy of Martial Arts. We used to spar with Chuck Norris gloves, which is very similar to MMA gloves, mm-hmm. except more dangerous because they were a lot smaller, mm-hmm. less padding and leather. So we used to do ground fighting. We used to do stand-up fighting with no headgear, no shin guards, no foot gear, just a mouthpiece and a cup. So we pretty much did mix, if you want to call it martial arts, mm-hmm. then. And then you see, of course, everybody else started, the UFC started in 1990s, I remember. And I said, oh, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Except we did it a lot more respectfully and with honor at mm-hmm. that time. UFC was quite different than what it is right now. So.
Right. Well, before you came in here and started the school and came to America to start the school, what, you were already an instructor, had your own school in Iran?
Well, I started martial arts at a very early age, as I told you. I mean, informally... I was 4 or 5 years old training, but formally I started going to the school at age 6. By the time I was 16, training, when you were born in a martial arts family, you know, you train, pretty much you live your life in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So everyday training. It's like having a father who's a general in the military, you know, you're always going to be disciplined for everything you do wrong. And so it was like everyday training for 10 years. The 10 years that I trained, the first 10 years was probably equivalent to 20 or 30 years for most people, because most people do 3 classes a day for 10 years, 15 years. For me, it was every day, several hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I even ran away from the school just to train. I did things like that. So I accomplished a lot. By age 16, I decided I want to have my own school, and I love the business aspect of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my father... accepted to help me, and I rented a basement of one of my students' house back in Iran and opened up my own school. We all painted it together, put carpet and put mats and some weight equipment and bags, and started actually running a business at age 16 back in Iran. And I have, you've seen the pictures.
Yes,
when
yes,
I was
sir.
16 in the videos. So that's what I originally started training and teaching people. And I continue, of course, on my own training
right.
as well.
Right. And then that also included you training the Iranian army. Is that correct?
Well, what happened, originally I came to the United States in 1978 when I was only 13.
Mm-hmm.
This is before the revolution of Iran. And I'm sure you're too young to remember.
I know a little bit of it, but just very vaguely.
So in 1978, when I immigrated to the United States with my family, that was in Shah's regime. The king of Iran, and 9 months after we returned back to Iran, because 6 months after we came here, a revolution happened. Ayatollahs mm-hmm. came to Iran and they took over the government and kicked Shah out. So we were forced to go back home, and then when we came back home to visit the family, Jimmy Carter canceled the visas.
Mm-hmm.
So I got stuck in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going back to martial arts again, training, and going back to high school in Iran, and I couldn't come back to the United States. So the war started in 1980 between Iran and Iraq, and so it was a turmoil over there. It was a war. It was an experience I've never had before. And all of a sudden, bam! You see, in the middle of the night, you've been bombed by Iraqi jet fighters. Anyway, in Iran, military is mandatory. So, especially if you're in a wartime.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly when I finished high school, I was drafted. And I had to go to a war.
Mm-hmm.
So I did 3 months of boot camp and basic training, and then I tested for special forces of Iran, which they call it the strike force. And I was accepted. I passed the test, and I became a leader of my platoon at the very early age. I was only 18.
Wow.
And another 3.5 months of training for that, and after that would right to front line of the war for 2 years, and after I survived, I was one of the only few people survived in my platoon. Out of 345 soldiers, 4 of us came back home. and my group. And they immediately, I decided I don't want to stay there anymore. I want to come back to the United States. Mm-hmm. I went to Dusseldorf, Germany for a few months until I had my appointment with the American consulate. They granted me the visa and I came to the United States.
Wow.
The rest is history.
Wow. I didn't even know that part of the story, so I'm glad I asked you that question.
And again, they were not even giving visa to Iranians because right. at that time, you know, we had the hostages situation,
yes.
so Iran was in a pretty much a bad list, mm-hmm. And it is still now
yes.
with the Ayatollahs. And what happened, I remember it was over 300-some people came, applicants said they wanted to get visa to come to the United States. Everybody got denied. I was the last person on the list, and the lady asked me, so why do you want to go to the United States? I said, because I love it there. Well, why do you love it there? Because I used to live there. I did 1 year. Why did you go back? I said, well, the revolution happened. I went back to visit my family, and your president canceled the visa. Are you upset with our president? That's the question the lady asked. I said, you want me to be honest? Yeah. I think that was a pretty bad thing to do for someone who lived here already, and you know, my father was paying taxes. I was a good kid. I was going to school here. I was going to Temple High Christian School in Tampa. Anyway, she said, you know, if I give you a visa, because I had an I-20 from Eckerd College,
mm-hmm.
which means once you get your student visa and finish college, you got to go back home. So the lady says, I really cannot give you a visa, but even if I do give you a visa, you know, you have to go back home after 4 years. I look at the lady, I said, then I don't want to waste your time, and I'm not going to lie to you. Don't give me the visa then, mm-hmm. because I'm not going back to Iran.
Right.
I want to stay in the United States. She said, she went quiet for 30 seconds. She says, just give me a few minutes, I'll be right back. After a few minutes, she came back. She says, welcome to America. She gave me the visa.
Wow.
I was the only one who got the visa. So thanks for being honest. We like to have more people like you come to the United States, and I will give you the visa. You do whatever you have to do legally to change your status after you finish college,
mm-hmm.
so you can stay here. And I just couldn't believe it. I was in shock. So
wow.
I got the visa, and I came here.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And once you came here, I'm assuming, obviously, we've kind of mentioned how, you know, the history of Amir's Academy, and that kind of started right when you came here, or did it take some time to develop the school?
No, I had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew what I wanted to do. My parents wanted me to go to college, and I wanted to go to college. I mean, education was important. But I knew that I'm going to make a living from martial arts, because that's what my passion was. So when I came here, probably a month and a half, 2 months after I arrived, I decided I'm going to open up an academy. But I had no money.
Mm-hmm.
I had $50 in my pocket, and my brother was a waiter in a restaurant and eating leftovers every night. And we didn't have no money, but you know, we had, you know, big dreams and great vision. So we used to live in an apartment complex named Northgate Apartments. Now they call it Emerald Points in St. Pete. First, I started teaching in the park, at Seminole Park, and sometimes at Fossil Park. I had one student named Sensei Wayne Bingler.
Yes,
you know, as you know, he was mm-hmm. my first student. And I met him through a friend, and I could hardly speak English at that time. And we used to just, our only communication was through martial arts.
Wow.
So I started teaching him. And then a couple of months after that, I asked the management of the apartment complex if I could use the lobby to train. They said, no problem. I started training in the lobby and teaching Wayne over there. A month after that, I went to them and I said, is there any way I can teach over here? They said, sure. It's an empty lobby. Nobody was using it. I said, as long as you could teach the management for free, you could teach. So, okay. That's how I started my business.
Wow.
1985. And I started teaching, and I started actually making money and taking students. I remember I still have my first flyer that I created, hand-drawing flyer,
mm-hmm.
that I took it to Kinko's another print shop, I don't know the name, and I printed a couple of thousand. I started walking around, and I learned that from one of the Bruce Lee's movies when I was
really?
A kid.
Yeah.
When he opened up his first dojo, I started walking around putting flyers everywhere. That's how I started.
Wow.
Within the first month, I get 25 students.
Jeez.
And that's how I started.
I guess, I mean, I don't know, was there existing martial arts school in this area, or were you kind of...
No. I started my own school.
Right.
There were other karate schools around.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of karate schools around. I mean, I didn't know anybody.
Right.
And so I did my own thing, and I started creating my own reputation by teaching. I did a demonstration, an exhibition, with Sensei Louis. You remember Sensei Louis?
Yes, yes, of course.
Who was one of the first people also that I met and I started training with. And he was in a different style, and his instructor passed away. And when I met him, he asked me if I could start training him. So we became good friends. We established a good friendship. He helped me out a lot. And in my first demonstration in the United States, he was a translator because I couldn't talk.
Oh, okay.
So he was not a translator because he couldn't understand what I said, but he spoke for me. He was like a master of ceremony.
Yes.
And he ran the competition. I mean, he ran the whole entire demonstration, but I did all the demonstrations. Mm-hmm. He just introduced me and stuff like that.
Right.
So
wow.
That's how we started.
That's, and I mean, it's been going on 33 years here?
33 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I was there for 10 years. I was there until 1994, a little more than 10 years. And then 1994, we got the notice that they sold the complex. They wanted me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had 75, 80 existing students. Everybody gathered together to help me out. We found a new place on 9th Street and 24th Avenue,
yes,
which was my second school.
Right.
And that's where everything really started getting even better and more exciting, mm-hmm. because I became a lot more successful over there. And I ended up purchasing that building with the help of the students and friends. We were there for 10 years, 10, 12 years, and then we came here 10 years ago.
Right.
And our final destination.
Yes, I remember that's where I first met you, was at the school on 9th Street.
On 9th Street, yes.
I remember coming in there, and then I was here for the transition too, which was great to see. Yes. I mean,
can you believe it's almost 10 years here?
We've been here?
In this
wow,
location.
That's hard to believe, yeah, because I remember moving everything in here and all that, so yes. Now, obviously, I want to get a little bit more broader topics. Obviously, your history was great. I was glad to, because I learned stuff that I hadn't known before. So I'm glad I asked you those things.
I'm sorry if I talk too much, but I figure you need to know more about that stuff. Yeah, so.
That's exactly what this is for. It's okay. It's here for you to talk to the listeners. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. So don't apologize for that. What about kind of a little bit more broader topic? You know, you've been in martial arts for essentially your entire life. What do you see kind of how martial arts has evolved over the years?
Well, that's a very broad question.
Yes.
As well. I mean, I'm glad that martial arts is as popular as it is right now. I think that it's been the most popular right now I've ever seen in my life. And we owe a lot of it to the Gracie family and Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and the history of UFC and how they started.
Mm-hmm.
UFC has done a lot of good, and it also has done some damage. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody in the field, because I love MMA and I love jiu-jitsu and I love UFC. I'm a big fan.
Right.
Overall, if I were to give it a grade, yes, he has done more good than he has done damage. He has taken martial arts to a whole new level. And just like anything else, if you don't evolve with the art and with the industry, and then you become very complacent, and eventually you disappear.
Right.
So I definitely agree with what has happened, and I love what I see. And what I do, I always choose the good parts and leave the bad parts behind, and I don't let my students get used to that.
So. Right. I mean, you yourself, you started your own, essentially, amateur kickboxing event. So you know about the entertainment aspect of it also.
Absolutely.
So, you can see from both sides, what would you think is the, since you have developed that event, the Battle of Tampa Bay is one of the biggest amateur events in the nation. What did you learn from doing that about the trying to preserve the kind of the purity of martial arts, but also have it in an entertaining fashion?
Well, I always believe some traditional martial artists, they're against that. Some traditionalists from Japan or Okinawa or ancient motherland of martial arts probably don't like competitions. That's against their policies and beliefs. I don't necessarily agree with that. I believe that there's nothing wrong with having martial arts to be exposed to that level and become entertainment without being bastardized. So because there's a fine line between being entertainment and being bastardized.
Right.
Bastardized means when you, for example, Mayweather and
McGregor,
the Conor, is that his name?
Yes.
Is fighting the Irish guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great fighters, both of them. Do I like this? Absolutely not. Do I like the language? Not. Do I like what they, But you know what? Because we're living in the 21st century and people are suckers for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even is dragging me into it. Now mm-hmm. I like to see this fight, even though I know what the outcome is.
Yes.
Even though I don't like the whole idea. You know, I don't like what they represent. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them are my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to watch it. So, you know, it has done good. It's good for business. As long as you don't get too, you don't get too crazy about it. Right. It's like, it's watching professional wrestling. You know it's not real.
Right.
So, okay, if you want to watch it for entertainment and have fun, that's fine. Don't just believe it.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, try to...
I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
No. It's important, like you say, you're trying to separate what martial arts is, which mm-hmm. includes boxing, and what the entertainment that you see on the screen mm-hmm. is. There's two different things. Like, and if you've trained in both in a discipline, you understand that the art is very beautiful mm-hmm. and there takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of dedication, and those guys have high level of that, both of them, but they're also trying to sell a product. That's their business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not against it. The thing is, it's like anything else in life. You choose what is right for you
mm-hmm.
and make it work for you.
Right.
I've done that with my academy. Therefore, I survive. Not only I survive, I live a good life, mm-hmm. and I run a very successful academy, doing what I think is right for me. For example, when people tell me, oh, Amir, you don't teach jiu-jitsu. I do teach ground fighting.
Yes.
I never claimed to be a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, because I never trained in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but mm-hmm. I've trained plenty in judo and jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Jiu-jitsu didn't start in Brazil.
Right.
Jiu-jitsu started mm-hmm. in Japan.
Yes, sir.
And so all of a sudden people think if you're a jiu-jitsu fighter, you have to be a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. We've seen many good wrestlers come from American wrestling, and you were one of them yourself. You did great against a lot of jiu-jitsu guys that we have had. Now, of course, there's always a next level and you could get better. So, and UFC is the same thing, you know. I mean, we do ground fighting in our school. We do boxing, we do kickboxing, we do fitness training. We do amateur kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we just do martial arts,
right.
Period.
Yeah.
I just love the art, period. I'm not stuck into one art. I don't believe in one art. My philosophy goes back way to what Bruce Lee used to say and believe in. No limitations as limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And don't limit yourself to one art. So Bruce Lee truly was ahead of his game. And now we see what people are saying, what he was saying 30, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. they're saying it right now.
Yes, sir.
And we see the result.
Right.
Now, MMA and UFC has become a multi-billion dollar industry and is putting boxing to shame, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I mean, I know boxing is trying to come back, and they're putting together some good fights, and there's good fighters now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's still, for me, that I probably because I'm a little bit biased, because I trained in the mm-hmm. martial arts and a lot of the arts that are used in UFC, that it's more entertaining, in my opinion.
Of course. Because it's like do you want to be the tree, or you want to be a branch of a tree?
Mm-hmm.
UFC is a tree. UFC is a tree with all kinds of branches. You could be Aikido Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, Iaido practitioner, you could be a Kanzenru, Wichiru, Kyokushinkai, Ishinru, you name it, any style, Vajiru, you could be any style
mm-hmm.
and be an MMA fighter, because that UFC allows you to do that. Right. The concept of mixed martial arts mm-hmm. allows you to do that. But in boxing, I believe boxing is part of us. We're not part of them.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Because boxing is a combative martial arts, as a form of combat martial arts, is a contact sport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know boxing existed for a long time, but martial arts also existed for thousands of years.
Right.
So to me, we box in martial arts, but they don't kick in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
We do jiu-jitsu in martial arts, but they don't do jiu-jitsu in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
We use elbows, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So boxing is part of what we do.
Right.
And so we are, as a martial artist, I believe we are a more complete combative form, and nobody could deny it.
Right. Yeah, if there was just a fight between... Sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, I know what exactly you're going to say. If you put Mayweather right now against Conor and tell him freestyle, fight your fight, after you fight your fight, that fight would end in 2 seconds by chokehold, or, you know, take him to the ground or break his knee or whatever. That would end.
Absolutely.
But that's why I don't think this is a very smart fight. But it's all for money and business.
That's true.
Because for Conor, it's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
If he loses, he's lost to the best. If he wins, he's beat the best. And either way, he's getting hundreds of millions of dollars. Mayweather, to me, is a lose-lose situation for him.
Right.
But because he's a money-hungry bastard, he's doing this.
Yep.
Otherwise, because if he loses, his loss to the person who's never boxed before. If he wins, he has beaten the guy who's never boxed before, so he's going to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he's going to get out of this is $100 million.
Right.
Yeah. Would you do it for $100 million? Probably I would do it too. So I understand. I understand the game. I understand it. So, you know.
Yeah. It's like you said. It's interesting to watch. And now people are.
Am I wrong? I mean.
No. I'm going to watch it for sure. Yeah. Now I want to transition a little bit because a big part of what you do here is you teach everybody, every age group, every demographic, but especially you have a great children program here. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from you, somebody who's been teaching martial arts for so long, why you believe martial arts is so important for like developing youth.
My analogy always go back to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
The tree does not grow from the top to the bottom. It grows from the ground to the top. Is that right?
Yes.
So martial arts is no martial arts without children. Because I had to be at one point to be born, turn to be 4 and 5 and 6 to be able to start martial arts and to be where I am right now. Is mm-hmm. that right? So anybody says, well, I don't want to teach martial arts to kids. So I don't want to touch kids program. Then we all going to eventually evaporate and disappear without children.
Right.
So foundation is it's teaching children. Mm-hmm. To me is the most important thing, having the children program, teach them the proper etiquettes of martial arts, the mind, body, and the spirit, the three most elements of martial arts. They need to be brought up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to take the kids that have never had any training whatsoever, or somebody at age 16, 17, all of a sudden put them in the MMA academy that does not have any values whatsoever and just want to teach contact.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think kids program is very important. Teach them properly from the very, very early age. They grow up with morals and values, and you're going to have some of the best fighters.
Right.
And I believe a complete fighter is a fighter who has those three elements, mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
And if you look in UFC right now, you see some fighters like that,
mm-hmm.
that they have those values.
Right.
A good, one of my all-time fighters were, that had all these three elements, or like Machida. Came from a traditional background,
mm-hmm.
great martial artist, respectful, lose. Whether he lost the fight or won the fight, he was always respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy fighters like that. George St. Pierre. I enjoy fighters like that.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Couture, one of the old-timers. Not the best stand-up guy in the world, but a great grappler,
right.
great human being, a nice person. So why is it important to teach martial arts to children? Because I can assure you, those guys started when they were very young,
mm-hmm.
and they grew up with proper values. And that's what you see.
That's the thing. And I feel like I'm about to be a parent myself
mm-hmm.
In a few months. Feel like I always hear parents are looking for that thing to help, you know, instill discipline in their child and help them be a little bit more focused. And I'm like, it's there. It's, you know, from my experience, it's martial arts.
Well, your daughter is going to be very lucky because you're one heck of an instructor. You're a good man. You're a good martial artist. So I think it's going to be great for your daughter. No, you're right. I mean, my whole focus, I have a 10-year-old daughter, as you know, and I enjoy teaching kids. I mean, I don't teach children personally anymore. I only teach my adult advanced class, but again, I have a very successful children program that
mm-hmm.
one of my top instructors teaches.
Yes.
Mr. J. And we take a lot of pride in that program.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're shaping people, I think, for the rest of life. I discovered it late in life. I mean, I was wrestling from a young age,
mm-hmm.
but I discovered the martial arts later in life, in my 20s, and then it just really shaped the rest of my life.
And I'm telling you, I can attest to that because you won't believe how many people I run into on a regular basis in the mall walking around with my wife and my daughter. People come, oh, Mr. Amir, Mr. Amir. I have no idea who they are. These are the kids that were 3 years old when I was teaching them, and now
wow.
they're 33. There are kids that were 10 years old when I was teaching them, now they're 20. Or I've taught generations.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught thousands of students. And so for me, it's such a great joy because I just had a student who returned to me. He was 17 when he was with me, young, nice young man. He used to participate in every training with me, every gathering, martial arts gathering, competition. He just came back from the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
After 18 years, I haven't seen him. And he finished his service.
Wow.
And he came back to me again. And he's training again. So it's just a great feeling to see because when you treat them well and you teach the kids at the early age, they grow up with those values, and then you run into them again, and they come back.
That's great. Well, I mean, I know how kind you've been to me since I don't get as much time to come over here and train with you as I used to. I'm always very appreciative when you allow me to come back and bring some of my clients with me too to experience this, because this is kind of where it all began. This is really where the addiction.
Well, this is your home.
Yes,
this is your home too.
I agree.
I mean,
thank you.
You know that. I mean, I've always made that very clear to you and many other students and friends I've had in the past that they're not here with us because they have their own training facility right now, and I'm proud and I'm honored to see that they're being successful, because not only they're they are continuing with the art and taking it to the next level, it just makes me feel better that I had something to do with that.
Yes,
I had some role, even if a small role, with their success. I don't mean it in a conceited way,
right?
You know?
Of course.
I mean it in a way that I enjoy watching you. It's like seeing your own kid grow up.
Yeah, proud.
You know, I feel like I look at you like my own son. That's that's how I look at it.
Yes.
And when I see Jay, who was with me when he was 8 years old, now he's 28 and teaching my kids program. It's just a great joy.
Yes. I can imagine so. And obviously, these people listen to this around the world, but anybody that's in the Tampa Bay area, I'd love to know, let them know how they can come in and check out your school. Is their contact information you want to share?
Sure.
With them?
Our phone number is 727-821-4097. Or they could check our website, is AmirAcademy.com.
All right. And we'll definitely, I'll put all that information. I type up notes for every episode, so we'll put that on so people can find and contact you. Do you have any events coming up?
November 10th. I have not announced it yet. I'm just telling you right now for the first time.
Okay.
I'm putting the card together right now. So if you have any fighters, you let me know.
Sure.
We'd be more than happy, even if it's for charity, whatever it is. It's going to be held here, just like last one. It's going to be Saturday, November 10th. We're going to have a nice full-contact Muay Thai kickboxing competition.
Excellent. If anybody's in the St. Petersburg area, trust me, put it on your calendars now. November 10th, you're going to want to watch it. It's a great event. I've got to participate and go and watch several.
You've fought plenty of times.
So I definitely can attest that it's an awesome event. All right, Master Amir, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, my friend. Always good to hear from you.
All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed that interview with Master Amir. I was very happy that I finally got around to asking him to allow me to interview him. Honestly, you guys heard, as I said in the interview, you know, when I thought about the podcast, when I developed the concept for the podcast, I wanted an interview component, and I made a list of people I wanted to interview, and he was at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I think I might still have the list in my last, it was like, 2 years ago, I had a planner and I wrote down a list, so it might be in there still.
Throwback.
So, but yeah, I mean, just I learned a ton in that interview. Stuff I didn't even know. You know, I mean, obviously, I knew he was an immigrant from Iran, but I didn't know the whole story about the immigration process he had to go through.
I mean, I have not had the privilege of learning that much about him. I've been introduced to him via like your training and the events I've gone to and things. He's always seemed like a very, you know, respectable man and clearly quite a family here in the US that he's developed. But yeah, I would never guess that not only has he really had to overcome some obstacles in his path to getting to where he is, but he's kind of the epitome of that American dream that so many of our families started off as.
Yeah. No, like, honestly, coming to this country, barely getting in, you know, barely getting past the whole immigration, you know, process and all that overseas, and then coming here without being able to speak English, and then getting into a business where you had to communicate, you know, technique and things like that and forms to people, you know, without language, essentially without spoken language. It was, you know, and developed over 30 years now in the same area and built up the school to what it is now, which is, you know, one of the biggest martial arts school in the country. So it's an amazing accomplishment. And honestly, I'll say it forever. I think I'm always proud that I'll be a part of that you know, community or of that family. Like you put it as a family, which is a great way to put it. And when I developed Elemental Training Tampa, I had that mindset of having it like a community, like a family.
Yeah.
Because that's the best way I feel to help people get the results they want as far as their health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think you can hear it in Master Mir about his story and about how passionate he is about martial arts specifically. I think you can definitely tell that, you know, I don't know if you can tell that we're trying to do the same thing as trying to share with as much people as possible and educate as much people as possible to bring those into. Essentially, you're in our extended family if you're listening to this.
Yes, you.
And if you give us a 5-star review.
Just conditional.
Just kidding. But, you know, it's a very important aspect, I believe, of health and fitness is having a support system like that.
Yeah, I think from the get-go, you've been really adamant about that point. And now I feel like I do know a bit more where that came from.
Yeah.
Because I've obviously met and were friends with some of the other people and trainers that you've worked with that have been a part of that mental kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing all of this, hearing his interview, I totally see why that's a passion point for you now because, he's just been such a huge inspiration. And holy cow, he has some crazy, amazing experience.
Yeah, and we barely scratched the surface of that. I mean, we could do several more interviews with him, talk about, you know, obviously, we mentioned a little bit in his intro about how he's, you know, basically a defensive hand-to-hand and weapons instructor for special forces, for the local police force here in the area. It's been a bodyguard for Jeb Bush, I believe. I think he's done some security detail for former President George Bush. He's, you know, obviously he's an immigrant and he's proud of being, you know, obviously being,
of his heritage.
Yes. Thank you.
He's a passionate American.
Exactly. Thank you. Like, gosh. I was trying to think of a great adjective.
Very clearly. Yeah. He is a passionate American.
Exactly. Yes. So, I'm proud to have known him and proud to call him my there's all different words, instructor, mentor. Sensei, master, or like you said, a mentor. That's a great word. All right. Also, I want to remind you guys heard it in the interview and he released it. We had the exclusive unveiling.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty special. Yeah,
exclusive. Yeah. So if you live in the Tampa Bay area, guys, and you like, don't even have to like combat sports, Master Amir's events, which are amateur kickboxing, they are top-notch events. You talk about something
very well run.
I mean, if the card says it's starting at 8, the first fight comes at 8. Everything's on. Everything's top of the line, and it's great competition. You know, obviously, I think some people might think amateur, oh, it's going to be sloppy. I mean, there is some aspects of that, but geez, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
I think... one or a few of the fights that I went to when you were an amateur fighter were his specific events.
Absolutely.
And I was never, like, bored. I mean, all the way from those tiny little fists of fury when they have the, you know, like the little kind of, I don't know how old they are.
Yeah,
they're kids,
small kids,
basically.
Yeah.
Super safe, super padded, but like just really entertaining and everything's really professional and they have all the correct staff there. They've got all the right judges and you feel like everything's being taken very seriously. Been to other fights over, you know, our history that don't even compare. I've been to like some of the MMA fights. I've been like, what the hell? Like who's putting this on?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, you can definitely take comfort in the fact that you're going to see some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be professional, but a lot of his fighters are like up and coming right. professionals.
Yes, it's entertaining. It's like you said, Shannon is done professionally, even though it's amateur fighting, it's done at the professional level. Mm-hmm. So, and it's going to be November 11th. That was the exclusive. I don't even think I said the date, did I?
I don't know.
That was the exclusive.
You said it earlier.
Scoop, yes. So, you guys, like you guys heard, November 11th here in the Tampa Bay area, most likely at Amir's Academy, which is in St. Petersburg. But we'll keep you guys all up to date when that is, when that's going down and when tickets will be on sale. So please, guys, please, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, I highly, highly recommend you go check out Amir's Academy. It's an awesome place, and it's if you're looking for a great workout, that's the place to go.
Yeah, and even if you have younger like kids that are looking for getting into some martial arts, or maybe you're just looking for a discipline for them that they need to sort of use some of that excess energy,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great place to check out.
You guys heard in the interview, he's a passionate about kids MMA also, and he's got a great instructor there who runs kids program. So just a little reminder, we got two announcements you guys can take care of. You got the fitness consultations email, elementaltampa@gmail.com, and vote for ATF podcast, Addicted to Fitness, at the cltampabay.com in the Best of the Bay contest.
I just feel like you threw out so many like acronyms and like random letters right there.
.com.
Stop.
All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. I really appreciate you guys listening to this. And you got anything else for them?
I got nothing.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.